I love you, man.
Thank you.
Dr. Josh Klapo at Tony Curry Radio, the TKR app. You can hear us coming up here. We're working on some new software. We've been working on it for a long period of time. So and next week, we will have Curry and Klapo on the TKR app. In the meantime, you can check out our podcast. In the meantime, we love doing this Facebook Live thing. That's because fun. We had a totally different audience, which we love. And I just posted a super creepy picture of both of us, one of those animated pictures. We look like Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about those.
A couple of things we want to get into real quick. Bama Rush.
Okay.
I want to get into Bama Rush. You got a daughter. It's the College of Charleston. I want to get into Bama Rush making college girls just deeply depressed. It is.
My shirt is Banana Republic. My pants are American Eagle.
Yes.
My flip-flops are Teva.
Yes.
And I don't have any earrings.
You're not wearing Kendra Scott earrings.
No, I'm not.
We're going to talk about Bama Rush.
Love me some Bama Rush.
Bama Rush has now surpassed 1 billion views on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only college in the land doing that. We'll talk about that. Klondike announced yesterday it's bringing back the Choco Taco. You ever had a Choco Taco?
Yeah.
Dude, they're good, man. They look like, it looks like a taco.
I know.
It's the shell is a waffle cone.
Oh,
and
nice.
They put ice cream and stuff in there. And they said they were going to get rid of it, and it may have been a ploy, and people just got pissed off. And so they're bringing that back. So we'll talk about that. Dr. Josh thinks Alec Jones is a piece of shit. We'll talk about that.
Special one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a piece of shit.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Caramelized.
I'm going to tell you why we're kind of responsible for that.
Yes. I know where you're going with that.
You know where I'm going?
I think so.
We're kind of responsible for the Alex Jones of the world.
We are.
On this date in 1966, John Lennon said something, or was actually republished, that changed the world and the way we look at the Beatles. And also, the 5 words, according to a dating expert, that is the biggest red flag you can have in any relationship, but it's usually, well, about 9 out of 10 times the first thing that's said on a first date.
Interesting.
I love a red flag. Man, I said, if this is clickbait again, because, you know.
Oh, of course it is. And you clicked.
This gal's name is Luann Ward. She's a special dating fanatic. Like, you know. Yeah.
You clicked?
So I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Okay. Were you surprised? Yeah.
No, but I've said it. And I think you probably said it too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is interesting.
First 5 words, a 5-word sentence, and women say it too. But if you hear this, like, in the first few minutes, run for your life.
So nice.
Has nothing to do with
you.
Sex.
So nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you. No.
Okay.
No, that's fine. That's pretty good. You're pretty good. Before we get into that, though, we have some programming notes. It's like a staff meeting. We have a staff meeting every Thursday.
Please join us.
Starting next week, all of our shows, all 13 of them, are going 5 days a week. So here's your rundown. Mission Minded with Michael Coleman, who is, of course, the CEO of the Montgomery Food Bank, formerly the Jimmy Hill Mission, will run at 10 a.m. Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Adapter Parish with Dr. Alex Hublin and Dr. Josh Klapo, great show about adaptation in the business world. If you don't adapt, you'll die.
Yes, you will.
That's going to be at 12 noon.
Oh, nice.
Everybody, you get the 12 noon
Thank
spot.
Thank you, yes.
It's one of the best spots in this radio station.
Yes.
Our numbers pop at 12
okay,
noon, so
great.
I'm giving you one of my best spots.
Thank
it's like
you.
Giving you my morning show.
Thank you.
The Damon Johnson Show, of course, he's on the road right now with Leonard Skinner and also getting ready for his Big Brother Kane reprisal next year, but they're also doing some Brother Kane shows. 3 o'clock, When in Rome with Stuart Rome, the Woodhouse Day Spa. Birmingham.woodhousespas.com.
Nice.
Birmingham.woodhousespas.com. Show that makes you look good, feel good, and sound good. It's a really weird hybrid show.
I listened to it.
Yeah. Last week we did Lollapalooza. He picks a theme. He gets to pick the 5 songs. We played Porno for Pyros last week. It was great. You're going to have some music you don't normally hear on this radio station. And then we talk about, like you've said for years, about the environment and atmosphere and all the preemptive things you need to do by going to the Woodhouse Day Spa to stay healthy.
I love
Stuart. You should be able to go Blue Cross Blue Shield on the Woodhouse Day Spa.
Yeah. Stuart's a fascinating individual.
He is coming out of a shell, man.
I love it. That's what this station does, and these shows. It brings people out of their shell.
Kip Kiefer, who's
yes.
a friend of mine from the Birmingham Racecourse Casino, I got him on the air a couple weeks ago. He does a show with Terry Quillian. He flew solo this week. Went off about Bill Russell. Not went off, but talked about Bill Russell. Went off about Pete Rose. Talked about gold and silver and pharmaceutical companies. It's all going to be on the Friday show. It's a fantastic show called Need to Know. And then his second show called Want to Bet is going to be starting here in 2 weeks. If you want the best picks, if you're looking to make some cash this college football season, this is the show you need to be checking out because his son works in Las Vegas as a handicapper.
I didn't know.
They're going to be giving you some plays. Want to Bet's going to be coming up. Dark Side of the Pooch. With Dr. Rab Stewart, our longest running show, a great show about pets and talking about pet care and everything, and we get after it too. If you're like, that sounds kind of boring, listen to it. It ain't nothing boring about it. It's going to be going at 7 o'clock. Austin Hanks and Blues Almighty will be going every night at 8 o'clock. I just think that's a perfect show. Blues music at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Blackberry Smoke is going to be on the show a little later on tonight.
I like Blackberry.
Yeah, we're going to be doing an encore presentation of that, and of course, Livewire Wednesdays, which we did last Wednesday night. Plus, a brand new show called LPOD. So last Wednesday night, we celebrated the 43rd anniversary release of Highway to Hell from AC/DC, and we played the entire thing and tracked it. The Eagles are playing Hotel California from start to finish. Yes, did several albums from start to finish.
Right.
When you go to a concert and you know what's coming up,
you love that.
Is that better than not knowing what's coming up?
Well, it's, yeah.
Some people like the surprise, but sometimes we'll sit through. I saw Cheap Trick one time, and I sat through like an hour of stuff, and I played Cheap Trick my entire career, and I didn't know one song the first hour of the show, and then they just packed in the backside, and by that time, I was whipped. But when you know what the next song is going to be coming up, it's pretty doggone exciting, and you're like, wow, I can't believe they're going to be playing Pretty Maids in a Row.
Yes.
Live in concert, because that's a song we don't normally hear.
God,
right?
I love that song.
So
I'm so glad you said that.
We did CD sideshows and LP sideshows. So starting next week or the week after, and I'll give you programs, we're going to start tracking albums. There's thousands of albums. Dark Side of the Moon, Who's Next,
God, I used to
Eagles'
love
Greatest
that.
Hits.
God, I love that.
And we're going to pick one night of the week. And we're going to start tracking these albums. Terrestrial radios aren't allowed to do that. We are, because we're internet. And so we're going to track the entire album. You can record it. You can do whatever you want with it. We'll just run the entire album. So LPOD is going to be coming up a little bit later on this radio show. So super excited about that. What's been going on with Dr. Josh? Everything good in your world?
Yeah, I've got one kid back at home, back in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, my son is still with us. He got his visa, so he's going to go back to the UK next week.
So what's a visa? What are you talking about?
Permit. So in order to go to a foreign country for more than a couple weeks, he's there for his education.
Yeah.
He was granted a visa to go study.
Yeah.
But he changed how long he wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm.
He was only going to stay a year, and now he's going to stay 2 years. And they said, well, that's great. You need to get a new visa. And in order to get a new visa, this is so...
He was only going to stay 1 year at Oxford?
Yeah, he was going to just get his master's in a year, and now he's going to extend, and he may get his doctorate.
Say that again. He was going to get his master's in a year.
He's going to get his master's in a year. He's going to extend it, and he may get it.
It would take me 12 years.
He may get his doctorate.
But
what's real,
in a year, yes.
What's real interesting is, and I think this applies around the world, it's sort of this bizarro thing. In order for him to get the visa so that he can stay late longer, he has to fly home, go back to his country, and remain here for like 2 weeks.
In order to get a visa for another year.
To go back to the... Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's a stay. I don't.
That's
and that
crazy.
It is right.
That's
so crazy. So I mean, he was like, "Well, if I'm going to stay 2 weeks, I'll hang out for a little while." And he got his visa, so now he's headed back across the pond.
Okay.
And then Jules and I will be back to being empty nesters.
What's it like? Because you spent a lot of time with your kids since they left,
yes.
Which is great.
I think
it's super. Normally, kids are gone. They're exploring different things. I know when I left the house, I didn't see my mom and dad for like a year, year and a half. Now I look back on that and the phone messages and stuff. I was only an hour and a half away, too. I should have wanted
to
see.
Well, that's a
now,
big...
my mom is still doing my laundry. So we'd meet like once every 2 weeks.
See?
And she would do my laundry.
Oh, I got a story.
Yes.
I'm like you. My kids both moved far away, right? So my daughter's 7 hours away, and my son obviously is in another country. I, like you, only lived about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, went to UCLA. So I would make the trek on Thursdays. Hi, Mom! I miss you so much! Here's my laundry. Now, I did my own. My mom had a thing. She's like, you can use our washing machine, but I sure as hell am not doing your laundry. But yes, I would come home and do it. My kids do not come home and do their laundry. And so we've had to make more of an effort to go see them. Now, granted, they're in like super nice places.
Oh.
I've thought about that a lot. Like what? Nothing. This is nothing against like Iowa, but like if they went to Iowa, would I be making as much effort to go visit them?
That's
no.
Interesting.
I think,
yeah.
No.
I didn't do my first load of laundry till 1990.
Your mom did it your whole.
I was until I moved here.
See, you're, you know why? You know why? Yeah. Your parents were married.
Yeah, they were.
This is a thing.
She wanted to do my laundry.
No, well, this is a thing. Special, yeah. This is a thing. When there's a divorce, there's a lot of things that change for kids, right? I mean, obviously, one of the parents is not living there. There's that kind of thing. But you and I have talked about this. There's this whole kind of rule change when a divorce happens.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if you're in a situation, kids are in a situation, maybe they're living with their mom, and maybe their mom is either going back to work or having a sort of different job, or it's a different sort of lifestyle. I know for my mom was in sales, and so like she kind of had to hit the road, and we'd have people come stay with us, but she got very busy.
Yeah.
So I remember very young, mom, I needed, you know, it's 11 or 12 years old. I need my pants clean, my jeans clean. My mom was also a teacher. That's great. I'm going to show you how to do your laundry. And we went through a whole tutorial. And from then on, I did my laundry. I remember when I was a teenager, going to go out on a date. Mm-hmm. Needed my pink polo. Mm-hmm. My pink polo was all crumbly, right? I need it ironed.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom's a teacher. Perfect. Come here. I'm going to show you how to iron your clothes. Same thing with making my own lunches, etc. And so from a very early age, my mom would do it, you know, but we learned how to do absolutely everything, which I think is super important. Because
no, I agree. Yeah.
Because you know how many college kids
yeah.
get to college? They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to iron. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to wash their clothes. They stink. They have smelly clothes. And they have poor diets.
True.
There you go. That's
speaking of college.
Bama Rush.
The sorority recruitment process, also known as rushing. It's a period of several weeks in which fraternities and sororities hunt for new members. It's a long-standing tradition across countless U.S. college universities, but Bama's Greek Life campaign caught the attention of gawkers worldwide last year.
Yes, it did.
With the hashtags, hashtag Bama Rush and hashtag Rush Talk.
Yep.
Having amassed now more than 1 billion views combined on TikTok currently. So get your Kendra Scott jewelry and your tote bag ready because it's time to watch Higher Ed's most grueling popularity contest ever. Remember that line I just said, by the way.
They're running home, Tony. They're running home.
Associated clips on social media platforms offer a peek into the life of University of Alabama's Greek life. Hopefully as they share their outfits of the day. Hashtag OOTD for short. Outfits of the day. Yeah, OOTD.
I have to be careful. My kids don't go to Alabama, but my daughter is in a sorority and my son was in a fraternity. So they
show off their on-trends mm-hmm. and often monogrammed tote mm-hmm. bags and discuss recruitment essentials and advice on getting into the right sorority.
See, it's helpful.
According to the, is it Panhellenic? P-A-N-H-E-L-L-E-N? Panhellenic Association, I'm saying right. Issues recruitment.
Who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Antetokounmpo. Officially begins on August 6th, in a couple days.
Paleonetic. I know. It's the Greek.
I'm just going to call P for short since we're going to OOTD. Dubbed PNMs. The potential new members dubbed PNMs. Who prepare for weeks, if not their whole lives, all the while documenting the process online.
Mm-hmm.
PNMs are competing to join one of 18 national conferences chapters at Alabama in July. The association announced that 2,575 students had signed up for Rush. PNMs must be ready for anything during Rush Week.
Yes, they are. Yes, they must.
Which usually spans about 9 days. In spite of academic coursework, the women must attend a battery of mandatory events, each of which requires a different dress code.
Dude, my daughter, it's brutal. It's brutal, and it's hot. And it is hot down here in the South.
What a racket. Which requires different dress codes, hence the hashtag OOTD, ritual post, and totes filled with on-the-go essentials.
Mm-hmm.
TikToker Gracie Edmondson, who is rushing this week, showed off what she's carrying in her pink Longchamp bag during the demand process, including a portable fan.
You got
a toiletry bag.
Yep.
Sewing kit.
Deodorant.
Compact mirror.
She got some
flip flops.
Yep.
Moleskins for blisters.
Yes.
Hairspray. Two types of deodorant.
Yep.
Ponchos and a bag of mints.
Of course.
There's literally so much stuff in my bag, she said, my shoulder's going to break off before the end of the week. She said in the clip that's been viewed now 3.2 million times, I hope that I have everything. All right, so I think this is really interesting. I went to college for a couple of years back in 1985 and 86, so it's been a long time. I don't think I'm going to be going to Grand Canyon University or New Hampshire or whatever to pick up. I don't care if my stuff transfers or not. So I'm probably not going back. Obviously, the word sorority girl has a connotative value for men or boys who go into college. They want to date sorority girls because they're fun. But I also think it's really interesting when they talk about a competition. This is a competition.
This is rough. Like, again, as a parent.
And I'm asking this because you do have a daughter who's a senior at Charleston, at the College of Charleston.
Yeah. She's been through the process. Sigma Kappa.
It's amazing, too. And I'm 56, so I don't want the creep value to come out. But it's amazing because every single girl I've seen on TikTok is rocking. They're all like...
This is.
I don't know if you're not allowed to be ugly and be in sororities. Well, I don't know how that works, but it is, quote unquote, according to this, and I'll read it to you again, higher ed's most grueling popularity contest yet.
The fraternities and sororities offer an amazing opportunity for kids. They really do. And depending on the school, and it varies very much from school to school, it also varies from chapter to chapter. I mean, that's part of this whole thing, is part of the match is matching to the right chapter. Not every fraternity or sorority is for, you know, only the pretty people, that kind of thing. But if you think about the process of rush and pledge and matching, you know, psychologically, every parent kind of takes a deep breath. Because it is an evaluative process. It is a, you know, it's not just do we like you. Because again, I have.
There is a possibility. It does happen that you don't get into a sorority because you don't have the right look.
You will.
It does not have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
You don't look right.
You don't look right. Yeah. Although you don't look right for them, you don't act right, or you don't come across right. Now, right, this is important. Right is right for that fraternity or sorority.
I love this.
And not every fraternity and sorority has exactly the same right rules. And so the good thing is, if you're at a institution where there's a large variety of fraternities and sororities, then you have an opportunity to find the right one for you. The problem I think you run into is when fraternities and sororities sort of define the ins versus the outs of kids. Because there's definitely universities that are large enough where not, you know, 30 to 40% of students are in. Mm-hmm. There's others where, you know, 80 to 90% are in. Mm-hmm. There's ones like down in the South where it is much more of it's a huge thing. Whereas in other schools, it's important, but less important. I think the hardest part, and I'm hesitant here because there's some good learning lessons here for kids. Mm-hmm. The hardest part is being able to present yourself in a way to other people that you want to become a part of their group. And
That makes me cringe.
Because the minute you're born,
you're telling people be who you are.
Well, yes, yourself, and that's why
I'm about a peer pressure. Don't act the way you know you're not supposed to be just because you're trying to be part of a group.
I know, and that's the thing. On paper, it should work that way. And again, having gone through this, it can work that way. And what I mean by that is, if you present yourself as who you are, don't completely fake it, then you should find a group of people in a fraternity or sorority who appreciate you and are like you. I mean, what I think
are there a certain, let's yeah. back up just a little bit, because I know you know this. Is there a certain number of people in each sorority? And again, I want to mess you up because you're on a roll here. Are there a certain number they can take?
Yes.
And they go over that number if they think, but she's a perfect fit for what we're trying to do here, so let's take her on. If you don't get in one, sir.
Oh, hello.
We're back. Is there, first of all, a certain number that you can have in sorority?
Yes.
Second of all, if is it common for girls to have to go to 3 or 4 or 5 different sororities before they finally find their spot? Is it
like 10?
Yeah,
that's part of the
So you write down, I want to be in this one, and you just take what you can get.
Well, no, there's preferences. It's matching.
Yeah.
There's matching. So you're going. Part of the reason that Rush is grueling is you're going sorority to sorority, fraternity to fraternity, back to back, party to party. And it's not just partying. I mean, it is, particularly some of the sororities, oh my God. Like, you literally walk in, and I have heard of this about a couple. You walk in, there's a camera on you, and you're displayed on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is just so wrong in so many psychological ways. But
sure.
But you are going, and you are presenting yourself to 5, 10, 50, depending on how large it is, 15 different chapters. They're evaluating you. And you are evaluating them. I think that is important. This is not a... There are lots of mismatches where I know my kids were like, okay, they went to like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with this chapter. Yep. This is not right for me. And then you put your preferences, they put their preferences, and then that's where match day is. And yes, some kids don't get in. Some kids don't get into their first choice. Some get in, and this is because another issue is they may have their first, second, and third choice, and the one that they didn't really want is the one that picked them. Now you got an interesting, because here's the other thing, fraternities.
So they can pick you and you don't want to be in their sorority.
Yeah, and here's the thing, fraternities and sororities there's expectations of time commitment. You know, this is not like a join a club and don't do anything.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the other important thing is this something you want to devote your time to? I think it's great. My daughter did it because she was going to a school where she knew nobody.
Yeah.
So it is a great opportunity to join. Where it gets like...
Are there girls that don't make it in at all?
Oh, absolutely. Now there is also multiple...
fraternity seems like if you're a guy, you're going to get in a fraternity somewhere.
It's a little more...
Like, they're not
going to
turn you down. If you want to be in a fraternity, they're going to let you in.
That's
right?
because girls are like...
Oh. But they're mean.
They're mean.
Let's be honest. If a guy wants to be in...
Dude,
it's like on Saturday night, you're a dweeb, but if you want to go to Buffalo Wild Wings with us and drink some beer...
Well, or you go to the dweebs or fraternity. There's a dweeb fraternity.
Yeah.
There's a nerdy fraternity. But, yep, with girls and women, it's much more nuanced.
Well, if you want to get in a sorority...
There's one for you.
There is one for every...
There really is. And they have multiple rush periods. They'll usually have a fall rush and a winter rush.
Yeah.
They'll have time, you know, because there's a lot of kids who will go through and they start rushing. And they're like, okay, this is too much. I don't want to do... They decide not to do it. And so not everyone does this their freshman year. You can come in your
sophomore. So I'm assuming there's a president of the chapter.
Oh, there's a board. There's a board. There's what's called sci-chi.
So you're probably going like if you have someone that's already a sophomore.
You saw Animal House.
I want you to be in my sorority.
Yes.
And then they're probably introducing you to the higher ups.
Whole shrouds of secrecy. Oh. And now, well, the other thing the sororities have, which I love this, and this is what my daughter is this year, is what's called a sci-chi. Psychi. They are independent of the decision making. They're essentially a counselor in the sorority. They're a counselor for the young women going through rush because it's very stressful. And you have to, you can't just ask somebody in the sorority, what do I do about this? So the psychi is this, like, it's almost like a shrink. It's this independent person who's from the sorority who's there to help you if you're struggling, if you don't know what to do, etc. And I know that my daughter had that relationship with her psychi, and it changed her life. So that's what my daughter's doing. And it's a position there. There's rush chair people.
It sounds
Jules was a tri-del.
My
dad was.
It sounds like a great thing. Particularly if you're coming from out of state, you're really learning what the university's about, and obviously, and there's a lot of things that get you on the campus, or get you to the parties, you're probably doing charity events, you're doing all kinds of things. So, but there's probably an underbelly or a dark side of some of these things where, you know, my daughter's going off to college, she's from Maine, she's going to college at Bama, and with all the pressures and stresses of being away from home, trying to figure out how to do your laundry and eat right, maybe she's leaving her boyfriend, he's not going with her. All these stresses, and then all of a sudden,
there's
you have to be in this popularity contest, and maybe she doesn't have that Bama sorority look.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just, here's the other thing, let's just quickly dive a little deeper. It is not just the look, it is the whole package, which you may or may not have. So, like, again, you're from Maine, and you're
And having different, dude, these are college kids, depending on whether they're getting an academic scholarship or they're playing softball. And you're having 16, 17 different outfits for these things? It's expensive as hell.
Well, and again, this is where the bad rap is for some of these stories and where the entertainment value is.
Yeah.
Right? So it is not Bama Rush. And I would even say this. Within the University of Alabama, it's not all the way we're seeing it on TikTok. But yes. Yes. And again, that's the other thing. This is what girls, women versus men. Guys, I mean, I don't know, you put a clean shirt on and you put things. Mm-hmm. It's not your outfit if you're a guy. It is your outfit if you're a girl. And it's hot. When my daughter rushed in Charleston, oh my God, it was 100 degrees in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And because the sorority houses are small, they can't all go in at the same time. Then there's thunderstorms.
Yeah.
She was standing outside in 90-degree weather in Charleston. It's flooding in her Kendra Scott and whatever it is, and just drenched, sweating.
Yes.
And then you're going in, and you're trying to present yourself in your most favorable light.
Yes. Well, everyone's hot and sweaty, right? I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's, I have mixed feelings about it. I did not.
If it's done right, it's all good. But you can't. I know women. I know girls.
But guys, too. I mean, there is this. It's different. But the guys, too, it's like, thanks, man, but you're not what we're looking for.
Yeah, but guys will beat each other up, and then we're still accepted.
No, we're more. It's less subtle.
I can have a huge argument with my next-door neighbor, and 3 days later, we're good.
Yeah, but you won't be in his fraternity.
Yeah. Unless you bring something to the fraternity they need.
Well, yeah, but a lot of that's...
Like beer.
No, it's not that way anymore. It's image.
Do they still haze in sororities? Or do they haze?
This is still... I mean, look, you can look at some of the lawsuits.
We're going to have some deaths in the next few weeks?
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily at Alabama, but yeah, it's still an issue.
I used to get into debates with Al Greco about hazing.
Yeah, right, I know.
And he would always... stood by, you know, as a freshman at Auburn. He'd have to. They wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
But this was for football.
It was. But I mean, you could say any organization.
Yeah.
Get in there. I mean, it could be the Masons. It could be anything. There's a hazing ritual that goes in, whether they're branding you or whether they're patting you on the top of the head or giving you a pledge pin. It could be whatever it is. But I mean, he used to talk about they woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, beat the shit out of him, made him run down the dormitory naked, hitting him with bags of nickels, and I'm like.
Yeah, things
and he's like, it was incredibly painful. He got bruises. I think he cracked a rib, something like that. And then, but he talked about once I was on the other side, I realized what it was all about and how worth it was. You know, and I'm thinking to myself,
there's a line, right? There are the initiation rituals that don't have to involve drinking to death. Pelting, you know, I mean, there's definitely the ritual and initiation pieces. But again, it's always going to happen. I think we've done a better job of cleaning some of it up. It does show, and this is just us. I mean, you're talking about the Alex Jones thing. We're dumb. We're dumb.
Yeah, we are.
We're dumb. And I don't mean our kids are dumb. We're all dumb. We're dumb, and we do stupid things for the sake of wanting to be a part of something.
Yeah. Speaking of Alex Jones,
yay.
I didn't know. I had heard Alex Jones. I'm a radio guy, so I know he's got the 24th most popular podcast in the country.
Yes.
I know he's on 60 syndicated radio stations. I know he's a far-right conspiracy theorist conservative.
No, he's just asking questions, Tony. He's just asking. He speaks for every person who's out there.
I also know that his $54 million company, Free Speech Systems, just went bankrupt last week.
That's controversial, though, too.
The dishonesty of right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones was spotlighted in a Texas court yesterday as a lawyer for a pair of Sandy Hook parents cross-examined the N-words and the founder and the fact-checking of his answers in real time. The jury hearing the case will determine how much Jones will have to pay the parents, Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, who won a default judgment against him earlier this year. Evidently, they were suing him because their child was killed at Sandy Hook back in 2012, and I quite frankly, I didn't realize you could do this. You could run a conspiracy theory, and then the parents of that are like, they're suing him for the fact that he is continually making this conspiracy of their loss of their son.
Yes.
And they're wanting $150 million. Jones is a sole witness for the defense during the trial, did not fare well Wednesday when he was cross-examined by the plaintiff's attorney, Mark Banks, and they found out. I mean, there is nothing more satisfying. Yeah. There's nothing more satisfying. And all I can use as an example, because it's so recent, was the insurrection of these guys who get out there and are just got their chest out to here, are boisterous, and all of a sudden they are belittled to the point where they almost pee on themselves. And looking at his face, I'm like, what a jerk off. You could tell all of a sudden he totally switched and said, no, it was real. It was real. Well, he's been talking about it not being real for 10 years.
No, he was just asking questions.
And we're to blame.
Yes, yes. Now, good. I'm glad we're going this way. Because we've created... this is so interesting. There's always been conspiracy theories, right?
Always.
Always. But what we've done is we've created a market, an entertainment market for conspiracy theories. So what happens is, you know, anybody can throw it out there, but someone like Alex Jones, who's got a following, can make it a much bigger thing. Right to the point of everything that we've seen with Sandy Hook. What's interesting now, and particularly in this case, as it moves forward, is now we've created the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, to me, where it gets interesting. You can go out and say, you can do it, Alex Jones, I was just asking questions.
Free speech, blah, blah, blah.
Free speech. And now what we're saying is, you know what? Go for it. But in certain cases, and if you say certain things, then you may be legally liable for it. And obviously that creates a debate about free speech, but what the thing that I like about it is, it, and this is my view, it puts some guardrails around how far can you go in terms of influencing and degrading other people, because that's what this lawsuit is. It's not the conspiracy theory. It's not that he was questioning.
So if this is you and I talking about Sandy Hook being a conspiracy theory, and we have 100,000 listeners, and we're not on 60 different
radio
programs, nobody really cares. But it's when you start getting the power of the medium, and you're covered by another individual or company that is distributing your information, and when you get that powerful, then
they're suing it not because he was asking questions. They're suing for essentially. This is not the right legal, but defamation of character.
Yeah.
Right? They're saying you are claiming us specifically. It's ruining our lives. Not that you're questioning. It's not you're being sued because you question whether it happened or not. You are telling us that what happened to us is not true and down to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw when the mom, when one of the mothers testified to him. I mean, this was chilling.
Yeah.
She said, my son was real.
I'm
real. Here I am. You said I didn't exist. And I was actually, I am here.
Yeah.
And she didn't cry and she didn't do anything else. But this guy has got, this guy's got chutzpah like you wouldn't believe. So first he's on, they dropped the bomb. Oh my God.
It was great. The text message thing was killer.
It was, he was coughing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if he's sick. He may have GERD. But dude, as a psychologist, we know that the tickle in your throat is a major anxiety response, right?
Your mouth is getting wet. You're starting to swallow. Or your mouth is getting really dry.
And that wasn't fun. And then the other part was so fascinating about this. I love this. because you can say all day long, he's just questioning, he's a great guy. I'm talking about the psychology of it. So first thing he's doing is he's answering the questions, he's composed, he's, you know, but he's coughing. There's a lot of coughing. And like there was too much coughing. Then the second thing is, it's the, did you ever see the 60 Minutes, or this old Saturday Night Live gig about 60 Minutes? I didn't ask that question. You asked me that question. Mm-hmm. So they're asking him. He's like, well, I didn't say that. I gave you the phone. You gave me the phone. And then what's so interesting is it's defensiveness. He starts pushing back. Oh, here's your Perry Mason moment, man. He's using his bravado to push, and the judge is like, stop.
And I honestly don't, and even the judge said, she's not, she said, this is not your radio program.
Yes.
This is not a show. This is a court. She even looked like she's still on her heels a little bit, despite the fact that it's her courtroom.
I know. He is.
He's a bully.
He's very intimidating, and he's very, and again, he's very powerful and charismatic. Like, he draws you in. He makes you feel fearful. And even in his responses, he's like, I just did what I was supposed to do. I just gave up. And man, when they dropped the bomb, he went into instant defensive mode.
He pissed himself. It was great.
It was absolutely. And the thing to me that was so horrible about all of it, and is then he went back on the air, which, fine. I mean, you can go. And he made two comments. He talked about the dad of the child who was killed, who was up there and was distraught and was just talking about his kid. He said, you know, I please don't, then don't quote me, but basically said the dad was kind of slow.
Yeah.
You piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get any lower than that, because if you're just asking questions and if you're just questioning and you're not saying it wasn't real, and you're like, and then you have a father whose kid was killed and you were, and it's all live on TV. You didn't have to get back on your show and say that.
We know that we're a highly litigious society.
Yes.
You can sue anybody for anything. You can. You can file it. It doesn't mean you're going to win, but you can sue anybody. I can sue you after the show if I wanted to, but I'm not going to.
Thank you.
But, you know, the freedom of speech thing is really interesting from the standpoint that when you do a radio show, I always talk about it's not a shift, it's a show. I got my shift from it's not a shift, it's a show. Mm-hmm. You're here to entertain. We do things on this show. We try to entertain. We try to be entertaining. We try to bring, you know, we certainly don't do that type of radio. And I guess where you draw the line is, I'm wondering if other loudmouths, blowhards, conservatives and liberals who just like to get out there and rant and throw innuendos,
right,
half-truths. Well, that sounds like this could have da-da-da-da-da. I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying that certainly could have been. There's double speak. There's playing both sides of the fence. And I guess when you get to the point where you're actually in a defamation platform or a mode where you're actually defaming somebody, see, I try not to call people by names.
Yep.
You know, you can call them a piece of shit or a jerk off, whatever. But I try not to do that. And then, you know, when you start digging into someone's life and start making, but I mean, dude, that's the world we live in right now.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if, In fact, he is sued successfully, and they've already got a settlement. Now they're just trying to figure out how much
he's
going to have to pay.
That's one of them.
Because you should be allowed to get on any medium you want, do a podcast, and if someone believes in you, a Cumulus or iHeart or whoever, and they should be as guilty as anybody in this, because they gave him the platform. They put him on 60 of their radio stations in order to spew this shit. So if you're going to do that, then you should be liable as well. I just wonder if this is going to make... There was a Cumulus where you and I worked on Talk 99.5, and of course I worked up there on Jocks and did the classic rock for years. There was something that came down from corporate about 2 years ago that said that all news talk personalities were not allowed to say that the election was fake.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
It was an in... House memo that came out that I saw. You could not say anything on your radio program alluding to the fact that you thought that the election was fake.
How many years ago?
Two years ago when all this stuff started going down.
Oh, that would go for one of the...
Well, that's when Matt Murphy was off Twitter, remember?
Oh, yes.
He got off Twitter for a little bit because, and I know Matt, I think Matt's a great guy, but I also think that he's an entertainer. I don't think he believes everything that comes out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's a brother in radio. But there's a lot of people out there trying to make their mark and create their own platform. Mm-hmm. And right now, go for today. Yeah, it's I like the fact that there are repercussions. We always say this on the show: you can say whatever you want. You can do or say whatever you want. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a response to it. You may get fired for it. You may get divorced over it. You may lose your job.
And somebody may come back. Again, this to me, this is what's interesting about it is somebody...
Real quick, this is not, you know, terrestrially speaking, terrestrial radio, which is run by the FCC, which is a government agency, has a little bit of control over what can be said and what cannot be said on terrestrial radio, because terrestrial radio is here to inform the community. That's the definition of radio. Here to be an information beacon for whatever there's out there, whether it's news, weather, blah, 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 blah. And obviously we've taken that to a whole different level. It's as opinionated as it gets, and that's the best radio, right? Internet, though, Bubba the Love Sponge, Dan Le Batard Show, Howard Stern, person said, F you, I'm done, I can't say the word vagina on the radio, I'll go to Bill O'Reilly. They're all going off and doing, that's why Twitch is so big, they're all going off doing. So for a company like Twitch, who has 50 of the biggest, largest shows in radio and television, where people are like, good, I want to go do my own thing and sell my own thing and start my own platform, it makes you wonder if there's a lot of big companies right now going, okay, this wasn't some guy who was doing a podcast in his basement and garnered a following. He actually had a company behind him that was syndicating his program and his own company worth millions of dollars. And so all of a sudden, and again, it's like no one really pays attention to you until you get too big.
Yes.
And when you start moving the needle, that scares the shit out of people.
Yes.
And that's when people start coming out.
And again, it's really interesting. God, I wish I was a lawyer. It's interesting because it is not just that you questioned it. That's not the lawsuit. The lawsuit is the degree to which you ruined, defamed people's lives because of it. Right? And that's what crosses it. You can stand it all day long and go, I wonder if.
Well, here's where we are, not you and I, because I don't watch it, but we're responsible for it.
Yes.
Because if people follow it.
Yes.
And give it power.
Yes, yes,
then it gets more powerful.
Right.
And the fact that this guy was on 60 radio stations.
Yes.
And I don't know how many listeners he has, weekly or daily, tells me that people are following him and believe the shit he's spewing. And by believing in that, it adds more power to it.
And people are watching us right now going, I can't believe you're doing that, Tony. He speaks the truth.
I'm sure there's somebody out there watching us on Facebook going, I believe it. Mm-hmm. Which is like...
Okay. But that's exactly... Because think about it. But if you are... There's two ways that people sort of come to follow you, which are both... And they're both kind of sick. I can think of a third one that sounds sick. Number one is you're saying things that are provocative, mm-hmm. but getting people to go, ooh, I want...
That's outlandish.
It's outlandish. No, but it may be insightful. People are like, I wonder if that's the case.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's true. That's one. The other is like pure entertainment, like, oh my God, I don't believe anything they're saying, but boy, is this guy funny to watch or engage, like, he's so over the top that you don't even see it as news or information. It's purely entertainment. And then sort of the other side is the trusted source. But I think we get drawn in on those latter two. We get drawn in on both the things that he's saying and who he is, right? The way that he's saying it. If I just went on their air, you know, and I said, I don't know, Sandy Hook didn't occur, people would slam me. But I'm not interesting. I'm not funny. I'm not powerful. He's garnered enough because of the entertainment value. What's really scary for us is that is what we're drawn to. I mean, you compare that with local news.
Isn't that how how conspiracy theorists and people that are...
Absolutely.
It draws you in, it's entertainment, and you don't believe it, but then you start to believe it. It's almost... I use the X-Files as an example.
Like a magician.
It really is. You actually start believing the stuff. And we see this all the time where, you know, my daughter became part of a group. And we thought, this is great. She's part of a group. And next thing you know, she's in a cult. And next thing you know, she's working for the Taliban. You're like, what the hell just happened here? She starts believing that stuff. And next thing you know, they're too far gone to bring back. What I think is really interesting here is total puss because he totally backtracked and wanted to do a 180 and said it happened. It actually happened. Well, for 10 years, on your radio show yesterday, you said it didn't. And now in a court of law, you're saying it did. Well, so what does that say about you? Now, a lot of people that watch it or enjoy it for entertainment purposes are like, he knew that it was real.
He's just right. It was entertainment purposes. That was the other thing where he flipped early on.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm an entertainer. Yeah. So is professional wrestling real?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I go back to.
Yeah.
I just, look, there was a lot of horrible things he did, but I think like yesterday was the cap when he went back on the show. And it was almost as, listen, let's get...
By the way, have you seen it? If you pull up his picture, he's a good-looking guy. He ain't good-looking now.
No.
Dude, his picture on his website, he is thin. I'm like, I didn't even look like him. Now he looks like a
show. This guy's only 400 pounds now. Yeah. Psychologically, though, what he did, which is just fascinating. When you watch when he's getting cross-examined, he went from being calm... and in control, to just a slight bit of the nervous cough, to calculated, okay, I'm listening, I gotta be careful what I say, to calling into question what the attorney was saying, to getting defensive, look at you, here's your Perry Mason moment, right? To shutting up, because he knew he was in big trouble.
Yep.
But then... going back on his show and making his bravado statements, this happens in relationships all the time. Mm-hmm. I was watching, I was thinking, this is relationships. This is, I did something bad, and someone called me out. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do that.
I mean, he must have lied like 50 times.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. Well, no, I was really not trying to hurt you. Tony, I wasn't really trying to hurt you. You told me that I gave you what you wanted to think. Well, you said that it was this, but I didn't say this. And it goes. You see this in relationships all the time. Somebody's squirming, and they're trying to use words in a calm way to get back in. And when that doesn't work, it flips. You're the one with the problem.
Yeah.
You're the one who is accusing me. How dare you do that, right? And then it gets, well, I'm leaving your ass. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. And then as soon as you go away and you go to the other room, you go, that son of a god. It is so classic.
Curry and Claypool Show here live on Facebook. And, of course, on Tony Curry Radio, download the TKR app. You can listen to us, of course, every single week and see our podcast wherever you get your podcast. Search Tony Curry Radio podcast. It's on Audio Boom or Spotify and see all of our stuff. We're going to be on Fox 6 in just about 45 minutes at 9:35 this morning. What are we talking about on Fox 6 this morning?
Being old.
Yeah, Tom Brady turned 45 yesterday. He's doing the B12 or the B2 or whatever his company is. Looks fantastic. I remember five years ago when he said, I'm going to play to 45, I was like, okay. And here he is at 45, getting ready to start his next season. So just an amazing guy. As long as he didn't take hits, he's good to go. So we're going to talk about being vain. I got a great take on this. I think you're going to like. Because I've been there. I've done that. You've had the lipo, I've had the lipo, we've done the thing, haven't done Botox yet. You really don't know what you're talking about until you get to the point where you actually need to delve into the opinion or situation you're actually in.
I totally agree.
State Farm, Chris Dorst, State Farm team, saw him a couple days ago.
I don't have one.
Southern Precision Staffing, you can have that when it's empty. I'll put some change in it for you. Also, one of our brand new sponsors, Coosa Valley Autosale.com. Went up and saw Al Cooper. He was on this morning here on Facebook. Brad, David, Shane, Jeremiah, Dakota, the entire crew. They sell cars. It's kind of like a car co-op. And their cars that they usually have, somewhere between 25 and he's trying to get up to 50 vehicles on the lot there in Sylacauga, aren't on the lot for more than 2 days. Which should tell you something. They're wheeling and dealing, brother. They're getting them off the lot and they're bringing them because they got new cars coming in every single day from auctions, from sales, from buy and sell and trade, the whole nine yards. They're great. They're open right now. Actually, I think they open at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. He'll answer his phone. Al, 256-267-0296. 256-267-0296. Tell him Tony Curry sent you. CusaValleyAutoSale.com. CusaValleyAutoSale.com. They're awesome. I'm going to buy a car from him in the next couple of weeks once I get my finances right. They work with Coosa Valley Credit Union up there.
Oh, good.
Coosa Credit Union. They're great up there, so they're wonderful people. Check out Coosa Valley Auto Sale. .com. Birthdays today, Barack Obama.
Today?
Our 44th president.
Let's go 61. That's interesting. He's older than I thought.
Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle, man. I don't know what it is about her lately. She is looking really good.
She's a very pretty woman.
She's always been kind of pretty, but
yeah,
she's, yeah.
Because
she doesn't look like she's...
Well, she's out, man. She's not getting hammered by
royalty anymore, but she's royalty in a different way. She's 41 today. Jeff Gordon turns 51, and Billy Bob Thornton. He just played down in Montgomery.
Did he?
A couple weeks ago.
He's in the 70s?
He's 67.
Okay.
Oh,
by the way, you sent me the Apollonia picture.
What'd you think?
She's very pretty. I have my whole thing about...
Black women age gracefully. We should say that on Fox 6 this morning. Remember Lena Horne? She's like 187 years old. She still looks good. Black women have beautiful skin.
Beautiful.
They really do. Mm-hmm. Black people have beautiful skin.
Yeah,
seriously,
white people
we age horribly.
No,
you see the wrinkles, you can see everything.
Wrinkles, yeah.
Black women age just beautifully. They really do. So happy birthday to everybody. Before we get into the five words that are the biggest red flag you'll ever have in a relationship, this gal is a dating expert.
That's good.
And she said, listen, if you hear these five words right off the bat, you need to run. I'll tell you what those are. Her name's Lou Ann Ward. And she'll tell you what those five words are. We'll tell you what they are. And I thought it was clickbait. I was like, oh, dating advice, great. And then I clicked on it. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. So we'll talk about that after you talk about one of our great sponsors.
I was trying to figure out what the five words were.
Okay.
Let's talk about John Gray and Driscoll Gray. You need someone to manage your finances. Don't do it on your own. And at the same time, don't just hand the reins over to somebody. That's your money. It's your money that you've earned. It's your choices and your decisions. And that's where John Gray from Driscoll Gray is amazing. He will work with you, and he always does this. He works with you to figure out what is the best investment strategy, but also what is the best way to manage your money. He's not going to do your budget, but he's going to help you make decisions like pay this credit card off before we invest, or hang on, let this interest float so we can invest. By the way, did you know there's a savings program for your kids? The financial market is complicated,
yep.
And that's where John Gray comes in. He is there to help guide you through. He lowers my blood pressure every time I talk to him because it makes me know that there's somebody on my team who's helping me, not just in my investments, but in my debt management and in my savings. Go to his webpage, DriscollGray.com, get his market insights. Again, John Gray at DriscollGray.com.
I love when people make statements and then we can go back years and go, okay, did it really happen? So John Lennon of the Beatles, the whole more popular than Jesus quote that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my good friend Doug Layton, who's no longer with us, he was a radio show with TC and John and all those guys, and they actually had one of the burning of the Beatles records, where they got all the Beatles records and they're burning their records because of what John Lennon said. It was actually a statement that was in the London Evening Standard for a couple of months until it was republished in U.S. papers. This is what he actually said. Christianity will go. It will go. It will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right, and I'll be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus Christ now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. Jesus was all right, but his disciples were thick and ordinary. It's them twisting is that ruins it for me.
That's cool.
It's them twisting. And this was back in 1966. And so it's been 56 years. Dr. Josh, what do you think is going to go first, Christianity or rock and roll? Because we have them both right now. Can't we all just
God rest his soul. I don't think either are going to die.
No, I don't think so either.
Rock and roll will never die.
Christianity's
not going to die.
We have a few more minutes here before we kick off, and then, of course, we'll be on Fox 6 at 9:35.
We love to burn records, don't we? We love to burn things.
In 1966, the Beatles were huge.
They were bigger than Jesus.
There were radio stations across the country that wouldn't play their music anymore.
Why?
And that hurt because they're like, we're Christian-based. We're not playing. If you say you're bigger than Jesus Christ, we're not playing your records. First of all, it was a stunt. That's what radio stations did.
Yep.
It was huge. There were like, I don't know how many millions of Beatles records that were burned after he said that. But you know what? The Beatles turned out okay.
Yeah, they did.
They only lasted another 4 years, though. Dating expert Lou Ann Ward, came out and said the five words that if you hear on a first date, she said it was an orange flag. She said that really it's a red flag. We love red flags. Do you know what those five words are?
I keep doing it. I have to go to the bathroom. No, let me pay for dinner. That didn't work. No, go. Just go.
When you hear this, what it probably means is I've been rejected so many times and don't hold any hope, and this is not going to work. You're probably dealing with someone who's quite a jaded dater, and they've never had that much fun, or they've never been that much fun to hang out with. She also warned your date may have no intentions of wanting a relationship. We want to date someone to connect with them. To me, that's an expectation. The words, I don't have any expectations.
Oh, that's...
And they like nice.
Oh, I love that. That's so psychologically rich.
I have used that. When I didn't...
Have you?
Well, when I've been in a situation where I really outkicked my coverage, and I got the date, and wanted to play coy, I wanted to back off a little bit and say, I really don't have any expectations here. So what happens, happens. I wanted him to go, I wanted them to think, and I only think I've only done it a couple times. And I've actually had women say that to me. And of course, I kind of liked it because it gave me something to play off. Well, then why are we here?
Yeah.
Do you expect to have a good time tonight?
I'm sorry.
Are you expecting a good meal tonight? Are you expecting a kiss when I walk into your door? So
I don't like.
There's expectations in everything. When I drive to the store to get a gallon of milk, I have expectations.
Well, I think that's what she's saying. I mean, that is what she's saying. It's red flag. As soon as you say, I have no expectations, particularly in a first date. Or in a date.
Yeah.
Of course you have expectations. Why are you there? And if you have no expectations, then why are you there?
I think you could also say it. I'm trying to figure out a good reason why you would say this. I would think you would say, I don't have any expectations to take the pressure off.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The idea of maybe we've been kind of playing with each other a little bit. You know, maybe it's a situation where it's a rekindling of a relationship. I had a rekindling of a relationship recently, and I wanted to say to her, hey, there's no expectations here. Let's just see what happens. Let's just have fun. I didn't want her to think because we had dated in the past that it was going to pick up right where it left off.
Well, that makes sense.
I didn't want her to think that we were going to have sex on the first day. I didn't want her to think that this was going to be Tony and Blank part two, although I said that, and obviously went out twice. It didn't work, so there were no expectations. It didn't work. But I'm trying to think of a time when you'd actually say there aren't expectations, but
that's why it's a red flag.
You're really kind of dissing the person you're with by saying, now you don't want to say, I'm really expecting a lot out of this.
Well, no, but you don't want to say any of it.
There's a happy medium.
You don't want to say any of it. I mean, that's why it's a red flag. If you think about it, in your mind, you may be thinking about expectations you have. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get together. Maybe we'll sleep together. Or maybe in your mind, you are going in with the, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm here to find out, i.e. no expectations. That's what you're thinking. As soon as you say it and you put it out there, now you've set expectations. Like, this is one of those things that we've done, we've talked about this so many different times. There are things that you keep in your head and you don't let fall out of your mouth, because as soon as it falls out of your mouth, now you're changing the relationship dynamic. So if in your head you truly don't have any expectations about what might happen, I am here to see what might happen, then just be. Don't say that. Because as soon as you say, I am just here to see what happens, the first thing you're saying, what do you mean what happens? You've instantly set the expectation. Because you said you have no expectations.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yes.
Just keep it in.
Download the TKR app. You classic rock and roll 24 hours a day, along with 13 great shows, which you'll start hearing probably starting next week, 5 days a week, Adapted Parish, which is a great show with Dr. Alex Hublin and Dr. Josh Claypool from Adaptogen out of Atlanta. They're going to be on every single day at noon. So
we got a big show coming up with an international guest.
You had a great show this past Tuesday. That was your global show. I love that. It was great. You guys have just done a fantastic job there. Austin Hanks, Blues Almighty, Blackberry Smoke on later on tonight, actually at noon and 8 o'clock today. That'll be going to air every single night. We have our LPOD show. I'm going to be recording a brand new Win in Rome with Stuart Rome, the Woodhouse Day Spa today, 905-7676, 905-7676. By the way, Mark your calendar. I don't know the date yet, but he's having a huge expansion at the Woodhouse Day Spa.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He's taking over the place next door to it. He's going to have a room for, not bachelor parties, but if they want to bring guys in where you can do some craft beers and some different things.
Nice.
He's going to expand his employee area, so they have a little break room area. He's going to have a tub room, which is going to be super cool. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Bathtubs.
Tub room, yeah, it's going to be awesome, dude.
Like Roman baths coming
in? Yeah.
In Birmingham. At us in Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to have baths. Stuart Rome is changing the landscape.
It really is.
In a very quiet, powerful way.
I love that.
Can you look at us?
We should go take a bath together.
Oh, dude, we've already done spa.
Side-by-side tubs, and we can do the thing. What's the commercial where they're holding hands? Is that Viagra? Where the guy and the girl are holding hands outside.
No, we've already done massages together.
So check him out, 905-7676-Birmingham.WoodhousePaws.com. He's got a great deal where if you buy five packages, you get six for the same price, so you're saving a couple $100.
Yep.
Go get the most expensive thing they got.
You get
buy
another
five
one.
Of them, and you get a free one.
Yep.
Then you can take all your buddies. It's pretty cool. All right, we'll be on Fox 6 at 9:30 this morning talking about being vain. Are you one of those people that likes to color your hair?
I don't have any
hair. You had laser lipo, Dr. Mm-hmm. Josh?
Dr. Tony.
Mm-hmm. We can even go to like shaving your ears.
Dude, every damn day I have a nose trimmer and an ear trimmer. You know why? Because I'm like you.
What the hell?
Well, that's exactly.
What the hell? I've got this little thing. It looks like.
But you've got hair.
Yeah, but it just started.
No, you got this hair. See, there's envy.
I started taking Centrium. And
what's Centrium?
Centrium, the vitamins for guys.
Oh yeah, over 50.
Fuck, man, and it's making, so I've been taking two of those, and they're making me feel better. But now I feel like I got to shave every 3 hours. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I used to shave like every 3 days. My hair.
Wait, so if I take that, will my hair grow back?
It makes your hair. My fingernails are growing like I'm something.
That's
like a
you're
hobbit
healthy.
Or something. No, it's not. I don't want my shit. That's like, why get a landscaper? You have to cut your grass more. I don't want my grass to grow anymore. I cut my grass once a week, that's good. I got a landscaper, now I have to cut my grass three times a week. Well, then stop hiring landscapers.
Watch us on Fox, this is going to be an old man show.
Yeah, it is.
And we're going to have, I think Janice is on.
I got this tuft of hair in the middle of my back where I'd have a tramp stamp, and I pulled it out, and I got a hair like this long. It's like that grandma that had that long hair hanging from her beard, and you're like, hey, can I just yank that thing off real quick? I'm like, what the hell? It's like I got buckwheat hanging out above the crack of my ass. I'm like, what's going on?
We already talked about this. This particularly for guys.
Hair just starts growing everywhere.
Well, and it grows in all again.
It grows where you don't want it.
Again, if I could take all the hair that I have growing in other places
and put it on your head,
put it right here, I'd have a head of hair just like yours.
You look great.
I could let my back. I could. We talked about you have neck hair that can grow all the way over the top. Your ear hair can become a beard. Your nose hair becomes a mustache. Guys are gross.
Guys are disgusting.
We are two straight males, and I am here to say that guys are gross.
It drives me crazy when I see a dude on television, an older man on television, and he's got a gray hair hanging out of his nose.
And you just want to clip it.
Did someone not?
It
takes 3 or 4 weeks for a long hair to grow actually out of your nose. And I got a big nose, so I know.
Because it usually curls up in there, yeah.
And I'm like, did someone not
they
say
don't care.
To you? Or like I was watching a Dateline a couple nights ago, and there was a prosecutor on there, and he's got this hair, and I'm like, dude, did someone not say you're going on national flipping television?
No, you know why?
Damn nose.
You know why? This is a classic, God rest his soul, Kobe Bryant interview. Kobe Bryant said, I'm the guy that will tell you you got spinach in your teeth.
Yeah.
And there are so many people who will just not say anything. I don't want
to. Like even a TV producer. Because I couldn't, I wouldn't even listen to what the guy was saying. I was watching this hair and it looked like it was growing as he was speaking.
We should ask, let's ask Jeremy. I don't know. I'm pretty good about clean. I've never had anybody say. I had a producer once. I had something on my shoulder. It wasn't dandruff.
No.
And it wasn't the producer. It was the anchor. She's like, you got a little.
Yeah, I want you to tell me.
Well, thank you before we go on.
And that's why you need to have kids. Because kids will tell you. I'll tell my kids, Like, I'm very cognizant of my nose, obviously, because I have a big nose. I mean, if I have something hanging out my nose, or I blow my nose, or whatever, or I get a little piece of tissue on my thing, I'm like, please tell me.
Yes.
Please tell me. I'll ask him to check my breath.
Yep.
You know, because they'll tell you the truth. Like, absolutely. Your breath stinks like shit, Dad. Brush your teeth again. I'm like, okay, thanks. Or you got something hanging from your nose. Or my daughter's always giving me hell about my eyebrows.
You don't have any eyebrows.
I know. What the hell? I'm losing hair on my eyebrows. Oh, it's like I'm going through chemo or something. This one side, I got no hair from this side over. And this side gets all bushy.
You know what it is? That's a stress thing.
What?
Yeah, it is. It's a stress thing to lose your hair on your eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Now, I, on the other hand, because I have no hair, right? So I go get my hair cut. It's actually not a haircut. I get my hair trimmed, basically.
Escaped.
And because I feel, I'm not cheap, but because I feel that basically my haircut takes, I always tell them.
Have you ever gone bald?
Huh?
You ever gone bald?
Yeah, I have way too many soccer injuries. I have like bulbous kind of thing. Gotcha. So I always go to, when I go get my haircut, I always tell them, I am your most revenue producing profitable haircut you ever have, because it takes exactly 5 minutes and they charge you the same amount. So, because I don't, and they don't do beards, I always have them trim my eyebrows now.
There you go.
Yeah, I finally, but it's
they should do something for
it's
you.
Humiliating. Because I've gotten to the age where I have to say, can you trim my eyebrows?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't do
that. They don't do nose hairs, though, do they?
No, because for hygiene. Yeah. No, but you can buy a nose trim.
Man, she spends more time in my ears than she does on my head. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, because you don't see it. It's the side of your head, so you don't see it.
Get an ear trimmer.
Well, see, that's one of those things where, you know, 20 years ago, I would have laughed at your ass. But now that I'm 56, and that's what we're talking about on Fox 6.
When you need to ask Mike if he's got ear hair.
Oh, he'll never admit it.
Yes, he will.
And he's got dark hair, too.
And he's got a good head of
you
hair.
You think he put some...
I don't know, because I don't have...
Did he put stuff in his hair?
I don't know. I don't have hair. It's like, that's not an issue for me. Like, I mean, I have
gray. When you color their hair from the minute they're born? So
well, you've heard the whole pandemic gray.
Yeah.
The whole pandemic... I ran into more women. I had the conversation with Jules. I ran into more women who let their hair... They just didn't color.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say to Jules, like, oh, my God. Like, not that she looks bad, but, like, wow. She looks Jules is like, yes, we color our damn hair for you, and this is what we look like.
Unless you got that really cool gray streak right in the
middle. No. Okay.
All right, have yourself a great day. Thanks for watching Curry and Claypo. We'll be back again next Thursday morning. Of course, you can podcast any of our shows. There's like 8,000 Curry and Claypo podcasts. And check us out on Fox 6 at 30 Minutes. I love you. Thanks for watching this morning.
Bye.